Welcome in, everybody, to the Mullen Over Podcast. I'm your host, Blake Mullen. With me today, new face on the show, OU Insider's Best. Don't tell Jesse I said that. But the basketball guy himself, Brody Lusk. Brody, how you doing, man?
And I'm doing good. I'm excited to make my debut here on the Mullen Over Podcast.
Okay, everybody, just so you know, Brody and I have been arguing over this for about 20 minutes. If he calls me sir, he's being kicked off the show. I just want everybody to know that. So if he randomly just, Brody Lusk has left the call, you know why? I'm trying to explain to him I'm not that much older than him. So if he says sir, just remind me, please. DM me on Twitter. You didn't kick him, so there has to be some sort of punishment. Brody, we understand the terms and accept the conditions.
Yeah. It's a habit, but it's not going to happen anymore.
Okay, we're locked in on not doing it?
Yeah, we're locked in.
All right, I appreciate it. Let's get into it, man. Javion McCollum, he was inactive. It shocked a lot of people in street clothes. I know we were texting about it in our chats and stuff. What can you tell us? It was a shoulder injury reportedly, but what can you tell us? Severity, everything else?
Yeah, it was a shoulder injury. He hurt it in practice, and it was just one of those weird injuries to where it's not long term at all, but it was one of those where he had to miss the game. It's his shooting shoulder, so that obviously does have a little bit of added impact. And look, the win last night is big in this aspect as well, because now Oklahoma is going to have an option where they could potentially sit them or sit McCollum on Saturday, but it's a short term injury. He'll be fine. He should be able to play on Saturday is what I was told. But if not, which is a slim chance, he will be 100% by the Big 12 tournament. So it's one of those where you're thankful the x-rays, they came back good and everything was okay with them.
So even without him, though, they obviously won. It wasn't the prettiest game ever. You win in overtime. What does that win say to you, knowing they can go out and win without him?
Look, I mean, it was ugly at the beginning. They had 10 points 10 minutes into the game. And it was clear the impact that Javion McCollum has on the team, because, look, without McCollum, they only have one other point guard, Milos Yuzan, and he did not play well. He was 1-for-10 from the field last night. He had only had 2 points, and he fouled out. So that puts you in a situation where you have Mox Kleinschek and Latre Darthard, who neither of them are really point guards, and you've got to play them point guard minutes. And so the offense was pretty stagnant, but at the end of the day, they did figure it out late in the game, and credit to Latre Darthard, who had a team-high 18 points. He also played a team-high 41 minutes. And you know, Rivaldo Soares stepped up. Mox Kleinschek had some good moments. I think it does speak to, you know, the team, because they found a way to win, even though it was ugly at a lot of times. At the end of the day, you win the game, and that's a huge win for this team. And it was good to see a lot of the guys step up when you have one point guard who's out and another point guard who didn't really provide any sort of contribution whatsoever.
And you just touched on it. They won, right? When Jesse was on here last week, he and I kept touching on it. The game against Oklahoma State and the game against Cincinnati. You really had to have one of them, but really you needed both of them. They did it. They won both, and also in that little gap, in my opinion, they looked incredible against Houston. I mean, they lost by 2 against the number one team in the nation. That's pretty good. How do you think that stands as far as March Madness when that's coming around the NCAA tournament? Have these recent wins and close outings, have they helped them?
Yeah, I think the win last night against Cincinnati locks them into an NCAA tournament berth. Because, you know, 20 wins, that's the magic number. And that's what they hit last night. And I also think, when you look at a metric standpoint, that Houston game, even though it was a loss, it looks good resume-wise. You were in the game, lost as a buzzer beater, and you played Houston down to the last second. So that looks really good. And then, you know, the win last night, like I said, it was huge to get that win. But they should be – they'll be in the NCAA tournament thanks to that win. You're looking at probably 8 and 9 seat in the NCAA tournament is more than likely going to be where it's at. But I think you're looking at probably it's got to be 98-99% chance of making the tournament now.
That's pretty high, 98-99% chance. So I have to ask you, say they get to the tournament, as you're saying, 8 or 9 seed. Mm-hmm. What do you – and obviously there's a lot of games to be played still with the Big 12 tournament. But just talking about good old March Madness – what would you say kind of the upside is for this team? I mean, as an 8 seed, we've seen 8 seeds, 9 seeds, 7s, 10s. They've made runs before. It's not the most uncommon thing ever. It's not the worst seed ever. What would you say the upside is for this team, and really what are expectations?
I think the expectation, depending on what the draw is, the expectation of the 8 or 9 seed is to win your first game, but then you're going to be turn it around and play in a one seed. So your expectation is probably just to win one game. But what I think Oklahoma has going for them is we've seen how they've performed against good teams. Look, the Houston game is evident of that. And Houston could be a potential one seed matchup. I know a lot of people want to say, oh, that's, well, they're in the same conference, so that can't happen. Well, Oklahoma's only played Houston once. So if necessary, because of how many Big 12 teams there are in the tournament, they could get matched up with Houston. But I think what they have going for them is when they're clicking, this is a good team. Rivaldo Soares has been playing his best basketball. And last night, that did not change. He had 16 points and he, you know, sprained his ankle a little bit halfway through the game. And he kept playing well. I think Latre Darthard, he's played his best two games of the season recently, 18 points and 16 points against Houston. You have JV McCollum, who is going to be returning from injury very soon. And, you know, there's two guys that I think they're going to determine how well Oklahoma does in the tournament. That's Milos Yuzan and Otega Owe. Otega Owe, everyone knows he started the season very well, and then he kind of fell off a cliff in conference play. Last night he had 6 points in 24 minutes. It was a little bit better, but still it wasn't that good. And Yuzan played probably his worst game of the season. So you need those two guys to, you know, find a way to contribute more than they are. And if they can step up their play and get back to what I think a lot of us know how they can play, then I think, you know, this team, I think the ceiling is raised in NCAA tournament. One thing that I think will hurt them, though, is the fact that John Hughley is injured. Now, they're hoping to maybe get him back for the Big 12 tournament, but I don't have much confidence that him returning, I don't think he'll be 100%. I don't think you'll be able to rely on him that much. So, big-wise, if they run into a Zach Edey or another elite big in NCAA tournament, I think they'll have some trouble. But we've seen Porter Moser make runs before in March Madness, and I think with this team and, you know, how battle-tested they are, I think you could see him make a run to a Sweet 16. But, you know, they'll have to play their best basketball.
So you just touched on it. You obviously dropped a note this morning at OUinsider.com. If you're not subbed yet, I don't know what you're doing. Go sub. It's only $9.99 a month. We have the best recruiting news, best basketball news, as well as best football team coverage, softball coverage. Anything you could want out of the Sooners, we have it at OU Insider. But Brody, you dropped kind of a bombshell this morning. I'm just going to let you take the floor. What was that about? It was about Porter Moser and his potential future.
Yeah, you know, again, if you haven't subbed to OU Insider, go ahead and do that so you can just go fully read the note. But you know, I'd say the past 48 hours have been kind of crazy regarding Porter Moser's future. Obviously, a couple weeks ago, I put out an earlier note. And we knew that Porter Moser was going to have some rumored interest with one DePaul and two other jobs out there on the market. So, you know, recently, the DePaul chances, the DePaul rumors, they've heated up a lot. And it does seem to be mutual, is what I would say. So, that it's kind of taken off, and DePaul is going to end their season, I think, Saturday. So they're going to be fully in head coach search mode. But again, we are probably still 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks away from really knowing what Porter Moser's future will be. But right now, I'd sit here and tell you it is very much up in the air, and it's very much in question what Oklahoma's roster will look like. And I also touched on what the roster could look like next year. I also touched on that in the note. And one thing I want to point out to people is with the new transfer rule, you can transfer even if you could transfer before. So people have asked me who would even be able to transfer since they brought in so many transfers last year. Anyone can transfer because they changed that in December. So I think regardless of if Porter Moser stays or if he goes, which is in question, I think it'll be an interesting offseason. But again, obviously, there's a little bit more in detail over on the Lindsey Street Insider board. So if you haven't, go check that out.
So would you say, obviously, a lot of OU fans, they were loving it high on cloud nine when the season started, right? Getting to February, slowly the wheels start coming off, kind of hit rock bottom. Now the Sooners are slowly surging back up, you could say. With that being said, as far as Porter Moser goes, do you think he's on the hot seat? Would it be him leaving, or would it be OU looking to replace him and fire him?
It would 100% be him leaving. I don't think Porter Moser's on the hot seat, despite what there's a lot of fans on Twitter that have basically told me that Porter Moser's the worst head coach in basketball. But no, despite what they believe, he is a good head coach. This is, you know, it's tough when you have a lot of roster turnover. And it's tough when you have injuries like John Hughley's injury. They had the Rivaldo Soares injury. They had the JV McCollum injury. So it's difficult. But I think even if Oklahoma would have missed the tournament, which isn't going to happen anymore, I think Porter Moser still would have been safe at Oklahoma. But then that's when you're looking at it and saying, if he misses again, that's it. But I think this would be a situation of Porter Moser is electing to leave and go somewhere that he would rather be than Oklahoma. I think that's where we're at here.
So let's this situation will play itself out. Let's go back to the current state of Sooners basketball. Last time they played Texas, they were number 11 in the nation. This is when they were still on a high, just coming off the Kansas loss, I believe. They were playing good basketball. Texas came in and beat them by 15. What is the likelihood OU goes into Austin and wins? And then also, what would a win over the Longhorns mean for this team as far as March Madness goes?
Yeah, Texas, they played Monday night against Baylor in Waco. They looked pretty good, but they did have an injury to Dylan Dessou, who gave Oklahoma a ton of problems in that first matchup. Dessou only played 10 minutes in that game against Baylor. But, you know, they have Max Apesmith, who, you know, a lot of Oklahoma fans, they know about him. They remember what he did last game. They remember what he did at Oral Roberts. He's been playing his best basketball. He scored 33 against Baylor, and he was one of the big reasons they were in that game. They lost 93-85, but, you know, they were in it kind of to the last second, and Baylor run, you know, hurt them. But they're in a weird position because, like I mentioned, the magic number is 20, and they have 19 wins. So for Texas, for them to be able to say, you know, they need to get their tourney bid because their non-conference was not as good as Oklahoma's. So they really need the 20th win, whether that be on Saturday or in the Big 12 tournament, which it's looking like they might be also matched up with Oklahoma. They need the win for Oklahoma's sake. You know, if you lose, it's not a knock against you, a Big 12 road loss. Everyone knows it's hard to get a Big 12 road win, but a win, I think that could be the difference between a 9 seed and an 8 seed. And maybe could get them to a 7 if they can win that game and the Big 12 tournament. But I also think there's a lot has to be said about a morale victory. I mean, look, it's a win. That's going to boost your confidence. Going on the road and getting a win in a rivalry game against Texas is certainly a confidence boost. And I think that would be the main benefit to this team if they were to go and win on Saturday.
So you just touched on it. Big 12 tournament, obviously, next week. Looking like Texas round one, who do you think the – I guess desirable matchups are for the Sooners, and who are the teams that you think they really need to stay away from in that first round?
Yeah, in the first round, it's interesting. I would say stay away from TCU, which it looks like that's going to happen. The desirable matchup would have been K-State if they could have got to the 7-10, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. So you're probably looking at Texas. And then in the second round, should you beat Texas, which I don't think Texas is a bad matchup. It just really depends on how they're playing. I think we'll be able to see a little bit more just how good of a matchup that is on Saturday. But right now, looking at it, they'd be matched up with Houston in the second round should they beat Texas, which, look, they looked good against Houston last time, but I don't think you'd want to see Houston. You'd probably rather see Iowa State, who did beat them, you know, a week ago, but they've beat Iowa State before, and Iowa State – look, when Oklahoma lost them, they just didn't make shots. But, you know, Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament is a tough ask because they call it Hilton South because, you know, their fans will travel very well. But I think Texas is not at all a bad matchup. That's probably one where it's essentially a neutral side. I don't think either will have much fan support there. And I think Oklahoma, I think they can beat Texas. Last time, they just came out cold. I mean, they did not score in the second half. I think they had like 4 points in the last 12 minutes of the half or something, I want to say, in that first matchup. And I don't think a matchup in the Big 12 tournament would be similar to that. So, you know, you're just hoping you can get through that Texas game on Saturday. No injuries in that game. And probably, you know, you want to see a close game. And then you go into the Big 12 tournament and you'll have a chance to probably play them again right after playing them, you know, a week ago.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, a big thing for this team right now is getting healthy, right? You said don't get injured on Saturday. They really need to get healthy for that run in March or for the run in the Big 12 tournament, as you touched on. Hughley's obviously out, hoping to get him back, as well as Javion McCollum. Thinking he'll be back on Saturday, they might not rush him back and have him back next week. But still, those are two big pieces that this team will definitely need, as you said, to make a run. But let's look ahead to that second round matchup. Say they get Texas, say they get the win. You look at it, you have Houston, obviously number one in the nation, Iowa State number 6, Baylor 11, and Kansas, I believe, is at 14 now.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the best of those guys? I mean, you have four, seems like juggernauts. You're looking at me like, oh man, it's going to be a long one either way. Can the Sooners beat any of those four? Obviously, they were close with Houston just a few days ago.
Yeah, I would say out of all of them, actually, Baylor would be the one I would want to see the least, because they have tremendous length inside with Missy, who's going to go in the lottery. They have Jacoby Walters going to go in the lottery. I would not want to see Baylor. Houston, I think we all saw what Oklahoma can do against Houston, but I don't think that game would have the added juice it did have in Norman, with that being Kelvin Sampson, Kellen Sampson, Hollis Price, Quanis Wright, all their, you know, Quanis White, all their first, you know, time returning to Norman. But, you know, Iowa State's an interesting one. But I would say out of the four teams you mentioned, Kansas would be the one I would want to see the most, because they have no depth at all. Kansas, you know, their starting five is good with Hunter Dickinson, KJ Adams, Johnny Furphy, Kevin McCullough, and DeJuan Harris. But after that, they don't have anyone. I think Oklahoma could give Kansas a run for their money. But Texas Tech, if they end up being that four seed, I think that also out of the top four teams would probably be the one you want to see the most, even though they did give Oklahoma problems in that first game. But I think all of them are just not good matchups. But I would say that the two I would want to see the most would be Iowa State and Kansas.
Well, hey, Brody, thank you so much for coming on, man. It was fun talking hoops with you. Like I said, if you haven't subbed to OU Insider, please do so. And also make sure to click that subscription button on YouTube, or if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, press the follow, please. We love your support. Peace out, everybody.